You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Would you like to do it?
It is Thursday!
April 13th, 2017!
And this
is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive who's literally just wearing a t-shirt.
That's it.
And Matt Modica, who's literally just wearing a t-shirt. I'm Greg Sussman, who's somehow, for some reason, not wearing a t-shirt.
That's a nice shirt that you have on, too.
We have a big premiere party tonight.
Yeah, we got. I feel like a superstar. Like I'm going to my own viewing party.
You don't have to go out and buy a shirt, I think.
I'm not going to show up like this. They were like, oh, wow, they got a hobo on the show.
We got the mad tall. We do have the premiere party tonight because Foul Territory debut, 7 p.m.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Fantasy Sports Network, check it out.
So can we invite people to this today? This viewing party?
Well, who you invited to invite?
Huh?
Who do you want to invite?
I'm just saying the listeners can come on out.
I don't know.
Greg, don't say that. This is what... Remember
well, if
what I told you? Listeners, Greg loves you.
I do love them. But I don't know. I just don't know the rules of what's going
okay,
on.
Okay, I didn't say that.
I'm just trying to be honest.
I don't want to make it seem like, you know, you are.
I love the listeners.
There you go.
He just doesn't want anybody showing up and not getting past the velvet rope.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not in charge. I'm going to get blamed for that, and I don't want to do that.
Then if you come and you don't get past the rope, don't be like, I know the fantasy executive.
That's what people are gonna do.
Like, I don't
the guy
do that.
In the white t-shirt.
if you don't show up to the premiere and be like, and then they don't let you in, and then you be like, I don't start dropping my name.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's what happened with Solange and Jay-Z. Remember that on the elevator fight? Yeah.
What was the fight about?
Remember, she was outside wilding.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because she wanted to get in. I think it was the Met. They was doing something at the Met.
I thought it was in the AC.
Yeah. The elevator incident was in the Met.
Oh, okay.
So I think they was because I think I know the dude that took the recording. Really legit.
Really?
Uh huh.
That's pretty big stuff.
Yeah, and I think
why don't we get him on the show?
And I think
is Corey Schwartz coming in here tonight?
Yeah, Corey Schwartz will be in here at 9 o'clock. And it's 200 damn degrees in here. I'm so embarrassed.
This is so
embarrassing. And I got on a damn t-shirt. Schwartz is going to be like, what kind of operation they running in here?
It'd be great if you showed up like in a tank top.
Corey Schwartz. Corey, if you're listening, I beg you to wear a tank top.
Well, then Corey got to go to work because, you know, he do StatCast, right? He runs, he's a president, he's in charge of statistics for Major League Baseball Advanced Media.
Yeah.
So he works right down the block, not too far in Chelsea. At Chelsea, I don't want to say where Corey Sports work at.
Well, he works
got beef. Yeah,
he works at MLBAM.
Yeah, he works at Major League Baseball Advanced Media,
which is down in Chelsea.
Yeah, which is down in Chelsea. He can walk there from here if he wanted to.
I'd rather walk out there than be in this. So announcement: we've gone up a degree. It's now 84 degrees.
It's 84 degrees in the damn studio.
We're literally going up.
We need to get an inflatable pool in here. Can they please send somebody in here before the fantasy executive melt?
Please. This is
now I can put my shirt back on and I feel more confident.
this is unbelievable.
Yeah, Solange. So they was in the Met, whatever. And apparently Solange was like a little drunk, whatever. And she was trying to get into the Met, whatever. To let him in, and they were like, yo, we're not gonna let you in because, like, they don't really know who Solange was because they're like, oh, we know Beyonce, obviously, but who the fuck is.
Jesus!
I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. But it was like, who is Solange? And,
oh my God. And,
yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
You are doing today, huh?
It's getting hot here.
It's the heat. Please, I need my job. So, I think she's still saying, well, I know Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? I know Jay-Z. Can you get Jay-Z to get me in? And I think he said to her when she got in, don't do that. Right. And I think that's when he went off on her.
I see.
Sorry.
Can't do that.
I thought it was about that Rachel Roy thing, but I guess I was wrong.
Who's Rachel Roy?
You know, they say that her and Jay was, you know.
He was messing with Rachel and Becky? Becky, not really.
Becky is Rachel.
Oh, okay. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's what they was. That, but that's not true. They just them people just had they got twins coming.
I just found it hysterical that people actually thought on like social media they were attacking Rachel Ray.
Yeah, that's not who it is.
Jay-Z and
imagine Jay-Z was looking at Rachel Ray.
Yeah,
he was like, make me a burger or something.
So that's what's going on there. Yeah,
I feel like my hands are sticking to my keyboard.
This is going to be very difficult to pull this off.
I am so embarrassed for Corey Shorts.
Yeah, I know. So this is what it is. So this is like one of your favorite players is in an adverse situation. You feel what I mean?
Yeah.
This is like when that game was like -3 outside, and you're trying to figure out how a player is going to perform in certain weather situations. Or this is a situation where it's like a London game or something like that. So basically, we're having like a London game today. So you don't know, you know, we can't predict how we're going to perform. We've already had a snafu, I did personally. So now we got to bear down, get our bearings about us. The conditions around us is going to make this show difficult today, but we got to dig a little bit deeper inside and find that extra thing to push us over the top, and that's how you become legendary. It is very hot in the studio this morning.
I have a question. Will Sussman be unbuttoning any more buttons? That is the question.
Could happen. I see the star already.
You see the star. I mean, I think it looks good like this. This is why I have this one open.
Yeah.
Should I close it? Is that what you're saying?
No. We might see full chest. Soon.
All right.
Corey's about to get naked again.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. I just want to make sure that, you know,
I may have to get dressed before sports get here because I don't want him to be like, what the hell is going on in here?
Yeah. This is incredible, actually. So, on the program today, as I said, we were saying it with Tony just a couple of moments ago.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to start with, stuff about me, of course, because we're the host of the show. It's kind of how it works, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into that. We had all the baseball from last night. We'll look at some stuff tonight. Guess what? Draft is 2 weeks away.
Yep, NFL draft is coming up. So that's
a lot of you got a lot of stuff going on.
Two weeks from tonight, baby.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
And I'm looking forward to, did they release the NBA playoff schedule yet? Yeah.
I'm assuming they did because it starts on Saturday. This weekend, yeah.
So there you go right there. So I'm looking at the Saturday games and the Sunday games.
What do we got here?
All right, so Saturday we kick off the first matchup of the NBA playoffs. It's Saturday, April 15th at 3 p.m. Eastern, and it features the Indiana Pacers at the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, Pacers aren't afraid of the Cavs.
No, they're going to bring it to them. And then at 5:30, we get the Milwaukee Bucks at the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, so that's the game that will be on NBA TV later this week.
Yeah.
And that is correct. On Tuesday, that game will be on NBA TV.
That
was easy to see coming.
And then we got Memphis at San Antonio, 8 p.m. So that's going to be boring. That's your Saturday night game. Yeah. That's going to be defensive minded, and the Spurs going. They don't have. I love Memphis's grit, but they don't have enough offense to run with San Ann. And then this is going to be interesting right here. That Saturday night, we got the Utah Jazz at the LA Clippers. Yo, I really think the Jazz might pick off the Clippers in this series. I really do.
I think it's possible. So the Clippers in the last second got the 4 seed because Utah, they were juggling back and forth.
They were juggling back and forth.
Yep.
And then, Sunday, we got the Atlanta Hawks at the Washington Nationals. That's going to be a phenomenal series right there. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that goes 7 because I'll be down there and I might be able to catch a game. And then we got the Portland Trail Blazers at the Golden State Warriors. That's 3:30 on Sunday. That's the primetime game. If Nurkic was available, that series would have been a little bit more interesting.
It would have been really interesting. It would have been awesome. Because Nurkic changed the entire complexion of Portland.
Yeah, so that would have been interesting. But Golden State, you know, I was talking to my nephew. My nephew's a real big Dubs fan, you know what I'm saying?
Got it from you.
Yeah.
Got it from his uncle.
No, he didn't get it from me. He got it from his father. So
makes more sense.
Yeah. So he was like, he don't think they're going to lose another game. The rest of the, he was like, they're not going to lose no more, Uncle Corey.
Maybe they won't.
I was like, I think they probably lose a game like or two during the course of the playoffs. He was like, how long is the series again? I was like, the series is 7 games. He was like, they're going to win all 7. And I'm like, well, you know, Sonny, they don't have to win all 7. You know what I'm saying?
They just got
to
win 4.
Yeah, they just got to win 4. But he was like, they still could win all 7. And I'm like, yeah.
I got excited to look at the schedule. I am not excited about any of these series except for one.
That Utah? No, you're not excited about Utah and the Clippers?
No.
I know you're excited about Atlanta, Washington. No?
Nope.
Chicago, Boston? No? Oklahoma, Houston. You like Oklahoma City,
Houston? I like
Oklahoma
City, Houston.
That is going to be a good
one. Well, the MVP versus the guy that wants to be the MVP.
We were talking about it yesterday. We should basically have this vote, and the voters should come out and be like, listen, Harden, Westbrook, these are our top two. You guys, whoever wins the series gets the MVP.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think that would be cool.
That'd be a nice face-off.
Yeah.
But speaking of games, like of winning games, wasn't last night a game the Knicks were supposed to lose and not win?
I can't. I'm so disgusted.
It's very frustrating.
It is very frustrating. I'm sitting up here with a... Here it is. The NBA playoffs about to start.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting up here with a Golden State Warriors hat on. Mm-hmm. The Knicks did this to me.
Mm-hmm.
They did this to me. The New York Knicks absolutely did this to me. James Dolan, that whole organization, that whole thing, it's pitiful.
Mm-hmm.
I sat on foul territory last night. And you'll see it tonight. But I'll give you a preview. I would rather have Isaiah Thomas in charge more than Phil Jackson. Can you imagine that?
That's rough. That's rough. I remember the Isaiah Thomas days.
I just don't understand. This stupid organization keeps getting themselves in these stupid situations. It's so frustrating.
And I knew Phil Jackson was going to be a bad idea.
That was horrible.
You saw it coming.
Yeah.
They gotta break the whole thing down. They gotta shake it up, or they have to get very lucky in a draft.
Yeah.
Either or.
And they've gotten very lucky already with Kristaps Porzingis.
They need to get lucky again.
No, they gotta get lucky that I don't have to sit in a stupid triangle anymore.
Yeah, that's a big part of it too. So it's just tough sledding for the New York Knickerbockers, and it don't look like things are going to be getting better anytime soon. But let's go, Dub Nation.
Dub Nation, indeed. Let's take a break. We'll come back, move on to baseball. I want to start with my Kyle Freeland start, because that didn't go great. And since the show, it's very hot in here, it's kind of hot in Kyle Freeland's kitchen, too. Modica's wiping the sweat off his face. We'll wipe the sweat off our brows. We'll, you know, wipe our shoulders, dust our shoulders off. We'll get going.
Another Jay-Z reference.
That's your damn right it was. It's all circular, baby. We're all transitioning. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Maybe we should cover ourselves in ice. Have ice baths. Do a show of ice baths. What do you think of that, Modica?
That might be something we need to do. I could go for a nice frozen Coke, a nice slushy.
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be refreshing.
I can use an ice cold cola. Corey Parson has water.
He's staying hydrated.
I have to stay hydrated. I think I'm running a marathon. You're talking, but your mic's not on. How long did you yell at people to turn their mics on?
Sorry.
Thank you.
I apologize.
It's fine.
All right, so what we got?
I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, I went and got me some water because of the heat. And I know the people in the restaurant was looking at me like, why is this man got on a undershirt? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a nice fancy establishment. This man walking around here with an undershirt on.
Yes.
I hope they don't put me out. Let's go.
Kyle Freeland yesterday. He pitched really well that first start, Matt. Really well. And then he's facing the Padres. You're like, well, they're not as bad as they used to be, right? I mean, they got, like, Will Myers, and they got, like, Manny Margot's there now, and they got some other guys. Hell, Ryan Schimpf, you know, Jarvis Solarte. I'm like, whatever, San Diego.
Hunter Renfro.
Relax, Hunter Renfro. So they got all these guys, and I didn't care. Before I literally walked out of this room, before the news desk was over at 2 p.m., there's four runs Kyle Freeland let up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least he didn't leave you in suspense. He let you know where. You know, that's
got it out the way early. You know what I mean?
It's very frustrating, Matt. Kyle Freeland's final line, 4 2/3, 8 hits, 6 runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. This was not good.
No, it was not. He did not follow up his teammate Anthony Santella yesterday, who had a back-to-back impressive starts. You know, this is a young kid in Colorado, and like I said, he has the pedigree, but when you look at his when you look at his stats in the minors and stuff, he wasn't a high strikeout guy. That's why it was a guy that was on the bench. You, like I said, you cut Tim Anderson for him. So, will Tim Anderson be getting picked up?
No. So it looks like we're going to put a claim in for Jeremy Jeffers here.
Jeremy Jeffries pitched the seventh though last night. Yeah. He wasn't even in line. Tony Barnett is the
guy. Should I go pick up Tony Barnett? Is that the guy?
Well, I mean, he was in line for until they got the extra runs last night. He was in line. He was warming up in the eighth.
He was warming.
Would have been a safe situation.
Okay.
I don't know how good Tony Barnett is, to be honest with you, but I would maybe speculate on him, because if Jeremy Jeffries was ever going to be the guy right now, he wouldn't have been pitching in the seventh inning last night.
So would you drop Kyle Freeland for my man Tony Barnett?
Yes, I would.
All right,
I
mean, doing it. Here we go.
Kyle Freeland should not be on your roster.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. It was just whether I should pick up another starter, I guess. I mean, I could always drop Tony Barnett.
Yeah, I mean, I would pick him up just to see. Maybe they say, hey, you know what, Matt? Because the Matt Bush news that came out about the shoulder.
Right.
Yeah.
So, maybe he's the guy right now.
All right. We are now the proud owners of Tony Barnett.
All right. Congratulations, Tony Barnett. Now, here we go. How'd that Rocky stack work yesterday?
Not well.
Yeah, that Rocky stack wasn't working yesterday.
Not well.
Then we got two games in Coors Field, and there you go right there.
As Zach Lee, 5 1/3, 2 hits, 4 walks, struck out 3. Zach Lee couldn't get anybody out the last 2 years. Didn't pitch in the majors in the last 2 years, and here he is, 5 1/3, in Colorado.
In Colorado.
And you love a run, yeah.
Well, the Jared Weaver, the run total for that game is what, 12? I don't think Colorado scored 12 runs all, you know, in what, 3 games?
There you go, right there.
Yeah. Maybe half that.
So now let's look at this. Now, and I want to ask you about something too, Madika. Do we feel like as if this Padre offense is going to be better than we thought it was?
I think the top part of that lineup is pretty good. I think Manny Margot, like I mentioned yesterday, I don't think the power is going to sustain, but I think the speed is real. He's a good player. He's a highly talented prospect back in, you know, coming up. Hunter Renfro has a ton of power. And Will Myers is on fire right
baller,
now.
Yeah.
And the guy that, you know, starting to get the credit he deserves is Solarte. You have him as well.
Ryan
Shrimp hits, you know, all he does is hit fly balls and home runs. So. Mm.
But they don't really land very much in play. That's why he's paying 160. Hey, guess what, guys? Can we clap it up for Austin Hedges, please? Clap it up.
He finally got on the board.
He finally got a hit. First hit of the season.
First hit of the year.
So he feels real good.
Batting 037 on the year now.
So he's better than Russell Martin right now?
Better than Russell Martin right now.
Come up and get your trophy, Mr. Hedges.
Please.
There you go, right there.
Colorado had 3 hits total yesterday. 1 for Cargo, 2 for Chucky Blackman. That was it.
Yeah, Blackman's my guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's on my Towers team.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I mean, if you want to take anything away, I mean, the Padres only scored in 2 innings yesterday.
Yeah, it's surprising how low scoring these 3 games were. I mean, everybody was all excited for it. And as Corey says, he avoids that slate. And that was the wise move.
Looks like the right thing right now. Looks like the right thing.
The Kyle Freeland thing, it didn't go well yesterday. You know what did go well, Matt?
I know exactly what went well yesterday.
That was Amir Garrett.
How about that?
How about that? Amir Garrett, who is not a local product,
mm-mm,
as we found out yesterday. But you know what? Through 2 games, he pitched pretty damn well. Yesterday, 6 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, both allowed on David Freeze home run in the 7th inning. 5 strikeouts, 0 walks.
That's lovely, right
Amir
there,
Garrett.
That's very. The 0 walks is what you always want to see from a young pitcher. Amir Garrett had started 12 major league innings without allowing a run. I was not watching this game. I had the hockey game on. And when I came to the MLB app on my iPad, first game I went to was this,
mm-hmm,
and I saw that Ivan Nova was in the process of giving up 4 runs in that 5th inning, and I was none too happy.
Yeah, it was a pitcher's duel for a while, and I was thinking about you because I was like, oh, this is cool. Like we're pretty much getting exactly what we asked for, mm-hmm, on a pitcher's duel. It's 0-0. And then I saw it was my team that scored. I was like, yeah. Isn't that funny how it's like I have a pitcher there, Corey, and now like the Reds became my team for the evening?
Yeah, no doubt. No, you get invested, you know. You get invested to the situation, and you want to root on your guy. And being a Amir Garrett, such a young player, and you just spent, you know, I just spent fab on him, pick him up, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see that. You you want to see that work right away. So I was happy to see Garrett last night. Obviously, no walks. Key. When you're talking about a young man, the ability to have his command rocking, which young pitchers tend to struggle with. Once that command gets going and you're not putting runners on base, you start to see the strikeouts pile up and stuff like that. Now he does give up the home run, but in 6 2/3, you know what I mean? You're talking about 2 earned runs, no walks, 5 Ks. Amir Garrett off to a very good start. And then this is why you spend up early. When you're looking at your fab, you spend up early because, you know, if he, like, I'm not, every game doesn't have to be as solid as this one was, but you spend up early and you get a full season of this production.
And it's always nice when you get instant gratification, you know, and a return on investment.
100%, and that's what made me feel good. Because as I said earlier in the week, like, I was deciding between, I picked up Amir Garrett. that's amazing. Tony's finally been begging to come on the show. Now he walks in here. It's 100 degrees in here. And now he doesn't want to stay anymore.
You know, I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. It's a tiny room.
Yeah, I know. I would leave too if I came in here and sold me an undershirt.
It turned from a studio into a sauna.
But anyway, so I was deciding on the weekend to pick up Joaquin Benoit or Amir Garrett. I went with Amir Garrett. I was a little upset on Monday when they named Joaquin Benoit the closer. And I get this from Amir Garrett. The obvious question, and I don't know if we know the answer yet, considering it's April, 12th, 13th? Mm-hmm. I should know that because I screamed it a couple minutes ago. Because it's April 13th, we don't know the answer to the question. Amir Garrett had a little hype on him toward the end of the spring. He's not some no-name guy. I mean, he had a nice little track record. He only was picked late in the MLB draft because he was a high school at the time, and he was a basketball star. No one knew if he played baseball or basketball. And he's really developed. He's tall. He's big. He put on 30 pounds after college. I mean, he's a guy that is strengthening up constantly. And I was watching MLB Network last night because I was excited about Amir Garrett. And Pedro Martinez basically said what this kid just needs to learn is how to control his body and just repeating the motion over and over and over again. Through two starts, he's done it. Is this sustainable?
That's the $64,000 question. I'm not sure. Look, I think he's going to show you some really good starts, but he's a young kid, and I think he's going to have some problems. And I think as the season goes on and teams get a book on him, have a scouting report, it gets a little difficult. It's like even with hitters, when they first come up and they have that immediate success, it's all great that first time around. That's why you see the sophomore slump.
100%. But what kind of has excited me probably the most here about Amir Garrett is that he's given you at least six innings both times.
Yep.
Even into the seventh, I know he allowed that 2-run home run to David Freese. I know he struck out the next batter, and then eventually he got pulled. But he got in there. I mean, he was in pretty deep here in the fourth time through the lineup.
Yeah,
so that's what exactly kind of excited me. It wasn't like, all right, second time through the lineup, I'm getting bombed. He's pitched pretty deep into these games.
Yeah, I'm not even concerned about him giving up a home run in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
The fact that he got
he gave up a home run in the seventh inning of an 8-0 game. So yeah, it's just like, Brian Price said, just get it over. I don't care. I want you to just get it over the plate.
That's another perfect example. Look, the first two games, you have to be excited on what. And like you said, he has some nice little track record in the minors, but I don't know what I'm saying, you should be excited, but you have to wait and see. Like, look, I'll give you Michael Fulmer from last year.
Sure.
He had that month where nobody scored a run on him. He was fantastic. Then post All-Star break on, he wasn't so fantastic. So, you know, you just, look, maybe
enjoy
just,
it now. You just enjoy it now. In Yahoo leagues, before yesterday, he was owned in 10% of leagues. Now he's owned in 33% of leagues. Is he one of these guys? Your waivers running this week, and I know in the leagues you play, Matt, he's not available, but, you know, Corey just picked him up at Tout Wars last week. I picked him up on Sunday in one of my leagues, and then I'm going to check everywhere else. I own him in the GST league. So is he a guy that you are running to pick up this week, that you're putting a significant amount of fab on? Or considering pitching in Cincinnati, considering how young he is, considering next week he's start, I believe he's a 2-star pitcher next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Last night. Yeah, he should be. Depends on the off day, but I believe so.
Hold on, let's say his name is Wednesday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wait, I'm sorry. They're off today, so he's not a two-star pitcher. They're off today. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They pitch Tuesday. Oh, so their first game is Tuesday. So it's Tuesday, then it'll pitch Sunday. As long as they don't have another off day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I'm not sure of their off days. But, no, I mean, I would be putting money down. I'm not sure how significant, how high I would go on the bid of him.
Yeah.
You know,
I went 11% on Sunday night.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's fair. I mean, 10%, you know, 10, 11%.
Yeah.
That seems
reasonable. I was shocked that I got him, too. I was shocked that I got him. Matter of fact, I don't know what he was going for. What was he going for in the NFBC over the weekend? Because Brian was like, he'd probably be going for like that 220 to 250 range.
Well, his teammate went for more. His teammate went for like, he wasn't available in any 15-team leagues I was in. But his teammate, Brendan Finnegan, in the 12-team leagues, went for $150.
Yeah.
I mean, I put in like a $93 bid, and I thought maybe I'd be competitive with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got, you know, I was blown away by like $50. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to put some money down on Amir Garrett. I'm going to be excited about Amir Garrett. But I'm not going to be overly confident that this is the way it's going to be.
Every time. Yeah, he's still a young pitcher. He's going to have his bumps and bruises and his up and down and stuff like that. But we would agree, everybody across the board, even in 12s, he should be owned.
I mean, I would pick him up. I would put some money down. I mean, I'm not going to put down like I'm not going to put 25% of my budget.
No, that's a lot right there. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, 10, if you need pitching, maybe 15 at the most. But you know, like I said, he's on the Reds too. Let's not forget.
Yeah. Great American small
park. Be excited, but also you know,
temper your expectations.
There's going to be good times, but I'm sure there's going to be bad times.
No doubt about that. Yep.
Yeah, so 100% agree with all that.
That is a difference maker, by the way.
Yeah, so just to update all our listeners, we have brought in a temporary air conditioner into the studio. I don't feel it at all.
Give it a chance.
No, I am saying, I agree. Modiga say how great it is, because he's like in the perfect seat.
No, he's sitting like in front of it.
He's like, oh, this is a difference maker. Tony and Corey and I are like, ugh. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be bruises, of course. He's a young pitcher. Against Baltimore, you feel comfortable throwing him out there? At home for the first time, he's in Cincinnati against the Orioles.
See, that's where it gets a little dicey.
Tricky.
And then, only that, you got to think of the adrenaline is really going to be pumping. You know what I mean? Because you got the fan base is like, it's going to be amped up. Because
now you're excited about him here. Everybody's excited about him,
so they're going to come out and see him. And so it's going to be a situation where he's going to be amped up, he's going to be pumped up, and he could overpitch.
Well, if he has a two-start week, I'm starting him.
So, you say that.
Who's the other manager? Was he like at Toronto?
He is home against Paul. He's home for two starts. How about that?
Okay.
He is home. Home against Baltimore on Tuesday. Home against the Cubs on Sunday.
Wow. From the frying pan to the fire.
Yeah, he's going to get a... It's going to get real, put it that way.
Yeah.
This isn't
if he has a two-star week, I'm starting him, says Modiga.
I'm rolling with him, yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think he's a perfect guy to have on your team that you can pick the spots for him. I mean, I want to start him in a two-star week, but these are two tough offenses to go up against. I mean,
as Corey was saying, it's about to get real.
Yeah, I mean, the 15 teams, maybe I do it. The 12-team, that's going to be tougher. 12-team, I'm going to really... it depends on my pitching situation.
Right.
He's a guy I'd rather have.
I think I'll throw him out there against the Orioles. If it's in the head-to-head, right? I throw him against the Orioles. Daily changes, worry about Sunday type of thing.
Yeah, the daily changes, that's nice because you don't have to make that commitment.
Correct.
Come Monday, like 1 p.m.
Will you be throwing out Ivan Nova, who pitched 6 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs? Three of them were early, three were earned. You get a quality start if that's a category for you. Nova did that. Tony Watson pitched in a blowout. I guess needed some work because Pirates haven't really won all that much recently. Both Danny Hudson and Tony Watson pitched. Hudson does not do well. Watson allows a hit, a walk, gets out of the inning, just 10 pitches.
As you was mentioning yesterday about the Seattle pitcher who was not good, Antonio Bastardo, every time this guy is in a game, he gives up runs.
Literally.
I know he's left-handed.
You know what was really funny? I was talking to, who was it yesterday? Was it you, Corey? No. I was talking to somebody yesterday about just how terrible, it was Mike Florio, how terrible Antonio Bastardo was for the Mets, and that he was just the worst player ever. And I feel like all Mets fans still to this day just hate him.
Yeah, you know what, though? I keep seeing his stat line every time he pitches. And it's like 4 runs, 2 runs, 1 run in like a third of an inning. He is no bueno.
Let's go to the Pirates hitting for a moment. David Freese, of course, scored the only runs, 2-run shot in that seventh inning after Andrew McCutchen reached on an infield single. It was 2 hits for McCutchen, 2 hits for Freese. For Cincinnati, a lot more going on. Jose Peraza, 297 now on the year, 3-for-5, a couple of RBIs. He stole his 4th base of the season. If you drafted Jose Peraza where you probably did, you're very satisfied right now.
This is what you're hoping for. Circa 300 batting average. You want to just see those stolen bases. I believe that he's on Adam Ronis' Tout Wars team.
And it's tough right there.
But, you know, Cincinnati right now. Cincinnati's hot right now, too. You got to take that.
Yeah,
the thing
well.
Right now is with teams, certain teams are hot, certain players are hot. And then maybe next week or the next 2 weeks, the teams are going to go cold. The players are going to go hot.
Yeah, of course. And then I'll drop them.
yeah, exactly.
Eugenio Suarez is 3-for-4, 3 RBI, 429 batting average right now for Eugenio.
He was a guy last year that you could get late. You know, he started off very well last year. The batting average came, you know, plummeting down. But he hits home runs. He'll steal some bases. And he was a cheap option, so.
And I'll tell you what. If you were a Devin Mesoraco owner, and Mesoraco's supposed to come back next week or the week after at some point, Tucker Barnhart's done the job for you. 3-for-5 yesterday. He's batting .333. All you wanted was not get killed at the catcher position. And Tucker Barnhart has done his job if you're a Mesoraco owner.
Yes, he was a guy that I was also contemplating about picking up this week. And, you know, when you had to get that catcher, I went with Giovanni Soto.
As many people.
Hopefully that's the long-term play here.
Mm-hmm. I got him, too.
Yeah, on your Tout Wars team?
He's on my Tout Wars, which is actually making a push.
That's excellent. I gotta do some, not research, I have to do some surgery on my teams. And see
yeah, like, but it's like I said, Sunday would be, what, 2 weeks?
I understand, Modica. So, I have to
But you've
sure.
been cutting guys already.
Well, so some guys deserve to get cut. Some guys deserve to get cut. You know, there were two other names I mentioned yesterday of guys I was really interested to see how they performed. One did very, very well. One did, well, not so well. We'll talk about those two games, those two pitchers on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I told you yesterday, there were two other guys that's really interested to see how they pitch. I thought it was yesterday, which was a lot of, I guess, fourth and fifth starters pitching yesterday. But that's what's kind of interesting, because everybody owns the 1 and 2 starters.
Yep.
It's the 4 and 5 starters that you're interested in seeing how they perform. So, do you remember how I told you there's one guy I suggested to Nando who on the team that we share, and he likes all the random scrubs. So I provided a random scrub for him.
You're in his wheelhouse with that.
And then he didn't want him. And he was right yesterday. Because the guy I wanted was Jesse Chavez, who went 4 1/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. It did not work out yesterday for my man Jesse Chavez.
Yeah, I have Jesse Chavez on my AL-only team, and that did not go well.
No.
I mean, look, it's Jesse Chavez. I don't know. You can't really have high expectations. I think he's more of a better suited for a relief role. But, you know, they gave him the shot. I think maybe at some point, but Norris maybe takes that fifth starter spot in Los Angeles. We'll see.
Well, I still kind of believe in Chavez. I think he's going to be the fifth starter. Like I said yesterday, I think he's a little bit better than people have given him credit for. Rough start last night.
Yeah, no, I think the problem with him is he's a small stature, put it that way. So I don't know if he has the body type to maintain over a full season.
And that's fair. For Texas, another one of these athletic cast-offs, A.J. Griffin went 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts. A.J. Griffin's someone that's had some success before. Can he do it again?
I mean, he's somebody that could possibly be a plausible, you know, back-of-the-end guy, rotation-wise. Not somebody that you can rely on. And as we mentioned yesterday with those guys, when they have a couple good outings, yeah, that's great. But when they when it goes south, you got to cut immediately.
You got to be quick with these guys right here because they can really blow you up and they can kind of tank you. You know what I mean? Especially sure. if you got them in at the wrong time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the good they can do, they can double it on
the bad. Yep, you're absolutely 100% correct about that.
The for the Texas Rangers last night, they got a 1-4 day from Carlos Gomez, who had a run an RBI. Because he, sir, hit his second home run of the year. Of course, I had this son of a gun on the bench yesterday.
Didn't you have Keon Broxton on the bench or somebody, too?
Yeah.
I thought you did all right. Yeah, I mean, Carlos Gomez.
I had both those guys on the bench
yesterday.
Have
to be happy, except Greg Sussman, who had him on the bench.
Son of a gun.
But this is why, this is why these guys that you draft to be your starters, for the most part, I mean, unless there's like a severe, like, you know, split or something, they got to be in the lineup.
Well, Carlos Gomez has been struggling. It was fair to throw him on the bench.
But no. See, that's the thing. I think where you make the mistake, Greg, is you're so impatient with these guys.
I didn't drop him. I just put him on the bench.
I get it.
But you took all his bed.
Yeah. See what I mean? Like you ate the bad, so it's kind of like it's like waiting on somebody, right?
Okay. Hold on. Going into last night, not knowing he was going to hit a home run. Tell me which of these five players you would have sat for him, okay? To be fair, would you have sat Yasmani Tomas yesterday?
No.
He was given how hot he has been.
No, he wouldn't have sat
you. Would you have sat Ben Zobrist yesterday?
Probably not, no.
Okay. Would you have sat Jose Ramirez yesterday?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Now, here are the two ones that you could have said yes to. Would you have sat your boy Kevin Kiermaier yesterday, facing a rookie pitcher, Jordan Montgomery?
No, I probably would have played Kiermaier too. Right.
Struck out three times, by the way.
He did. he couldn't get that damn bunt down. I was like, yeah, he just kept waiting on pitches. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Would you have sat Brandon Drury yesterday?
That I might have done. I might have sat Brandon Drury.
Okay. So I decided to play Drury over Gomez, which I feel like you can't kill me for.
No,
you can't kill you.
No, you can't.
I mean, I have to. Besides sitting there, I mean, I'm just doing it real. We did it real quick.
Yeah, obviously.
I'd want to see the matchups.
I looked at the matchups yesterday, and this is what I came up with, Corey.
I'm listening.
I thought you wanted to expand on that.
Jesse Chavez matchup for Carlos Gomez
was tasty.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I understand. I'm just telling you.
But you did have some good players there.
I'm not going to hit you too much for that. All right.
His buddy Mazzara though is crazy right now.
1-4 yesterday with another good game for Nomar Mazzara. Another run scored.
Yep.
Batting 394. Elvis Andrews is also scorching hot at the moment, guys. 2-4. Another home run. He's third of the season. It seems like he's third in 3 days, seemingly, for Elvis Andrews. Only saw 8 pitches, but that's okay. Batting 333 with the OBP at 375. Mike Napoli is his second home run of the season. He went 2-4 yesterday. A couple of runs scored for Texas. For the Angels, a 2-4 day by Cole Calhoun, while Mike Trout hits his third home run of the year, a solo shot in the third inning. Trout was 1-4 on the day.
Well, I'll say one thing for Elvis Andrew owners. I think he's a guy that always, you know, he got to the point where nobody really wants to take him anymore, but he steals those 25 bases. And the one thing is, with the home run power, I mean, last year he hit, I think it was 7 home runs in like 550 plate appearances. And within 30 plate appearances, he has 3 home runs. So in his last 600 plate appearances, just under, he's got 10 home runs. So if that guy's going to give you 10 home runs, steal you 25 bases, and give you a decent average with a bunch of runs, that's a really nice player.
100%. And I know people are sick. Obviously, I'm one of those guys that are sick of him. I'm one of those guys that didn't draft him. So it's obviously very, very frustrating to see what he's doing now. But bottom of the lineup, top of the lineup, doesn't really matter where he bats. He's being, of course, very, very successful.
Yep.
So that was one. That was the guy that didn't perform well who I liked. The guy that really did perform well, that was Andrew Triggs, his second consecutive game.
Also on my top worst team.
Where he pitched really, really well. The strikeouts weren't necessarily there, but Triggs got the job done. Oakland won this game 8-3 on 6 innings and 4 hits from Andrew Triggs. Just 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He did not allow a single run. Was he in your top worst lineup, Corey?
He was in my lineup yesterday, too. So
feeling good.
Like I said, I'm solid week for the kid. I am leading in the standings for this week only, but it has pushed me up 10 points ahead of Adam Ronis. So
it's really the only thing that matters here.
That's really, yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. So the redemption tour is well underway.
How can it be a redemption tour when you've never been in the league before?
It's because I think the last time me and him competed, he ended up with the coming ahead on top.
Okay.
So now I have to redeem myself.
This is even more important.
But Andrew Triggs was, yeah, and Triggs was one of my, because this is his thing right here. Triggs is one of the guys I took very late that night, and I was just looking, like, I was reading up, doing some research in him, you know, checking out some of the stuff they were saying in the Roto Experts exclusive edge packets, and this was a player that, you
know.
It's
available now, by the way. It's available now.
Available now. You can use the promo code FREEDRADIO at checkout, get you a couple dollars off your package. Also comes with the excellent work from Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Trick was a player that they said would be, you know, in the package, said that he'd be an intriguing guy this year. More than likely a guy that you could stream. But when I got him very late in the draft, I've been putting him in the starting lineup, and so far I have not been turned off. I like the fact that he's in a nice friendly ballpark, and I think the young man is a dude where his command is not going to be an issue. Only gives up one walk yesterday, so I like Andrew Triggs, like, for where I got him and stuff like that. I understand Matt is going to be times, but he's going to be. This is a good situation for him yesterday versus Kansas City.
You know, Triggs is a guy that I've taken late, and I do like the arm. I do like, you know, you said the ballpark for him and everything. Just, 11 and two thirds, only one run, zero earned. We just got to be a little cautious. The four walks, the four strikeouts, you know, getting a little lucky too. But, hey, we'll take it, especially when you get a guy, like Corey said. I'm pretty sure you got him in the reserve round.
Got him in the reserve round, yeah.
So, I mean, right now, you're buying him. You're taking all the good.
Yep.
You know, so you're just ringing the register right now on Andrew Triggs.
There you go right there. Ringing the register.
Now, the strikeouts haven't been there for Triggs. Is that a concern for either of you?
I mean, for me, what I'm going to look at is, hey, it's great, like I just said, but the left on base percentage is like 92%.
Seems like it's not sustainable.
The BABIP is 200. The ground ball percentage is 51%, which that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like that. And like I said, I do like this arm. I do think he was a reliever that they gave a chance to start. And I think he's a guy that, you know, like we say, you want these late round guys that, you know, turn a profit for you. Just, you know, somebody, you know, I wouldn't just throw them out there every single time.
And that's the thing. I think you got to be selective in how you manage the player and stuff like that. You got to really check out the matchup so you can know what to do with a guy like Andrew Triggs. My man Corey Smorsch just walked into the building.
Take your sweatshirt off, man.
He's about to sit down. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed because it's so hot in here. It's normally not this hot in here.
Let's take a break. We'll get Corey set up. We'll talk some stack ass with Corey Schwartz. He's hanging out with us in baseball. It's going to be a fun hour. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here, the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Yep.
So embarrassing, Corey.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm in here, but we got the buddy, the homie, Corey Schwartz, one of the real good guys in the industry, joining us in studio this morning. Major League Baseball Advanced Media StatCast. You know, a couple months ago when we was first starting to talk baseball, I went on this amazing rant because I'm like this dominant broadcaster. I'm on this amazing rant about how much I was against advanced statistics, and I don't want to hear about XFIP.
Should I leave now?
I don't want to hear about XFIP and X this and this that and whatever the case may be. But I'll be honest with you, I am intrigued by the StatCast thing, the exit velocity, the hard hit, and all of that. That's pretty intriguing stuff. And I think it's kind of like advancing the way even the broadcast comes along.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is use metrics and data to tell stories that we already know about baseball. If you see a guy smoke a ball and hit a line drive right out the third baseman, and the third baseman makes a catch, you're like, damn, he smoked that ball. Like, he should have gotten a better result out of it. That's, in a nutshell, is what StatCast is all about, is being able to look at players' skills without getting hung up on the results. So take Miguel Cabrera, for example, one of the great hitters of our lifetime. He's off to a terrible start, but his skill levels that he's demonstrating so far are right where he's always been. So he's going to start hitting soon and showing the results that we expect because we can see already the skills are still there.
I think what's crazy to me, Corey, is how quickly StatCast has kind of come into the baseball lexicon, right? Like, to me, it really started first game of the season, or one of the first games of the season.
They was doing it last year, too.
But to me, when Madison Bumgarner hit two home runs, all everybody was talking about was the exit velocity at 112 miles per hour. That's all everybody was saying the next day. It was Statcast, Statcast, Statcast. And it's crazy just how quick everybody is in on Statcast.
Yeah, I think that's the proof of, you know, a valuable metric or a valuable measurement or technology is that it's something that can be adapted very quickly. You know, this is our third season doing Statcast, and some of the things we did in 15 and 16 yeah. didn't really catch on because maybe the concepts were a little too hard to understand. So we find a different way to get to those. But things like exit velocity, catch probability that we're doing now for outfielders or hit probability, those are pretty easy things to understand. If you see a guy make a great running catch in the outfield and we tell you there was a 20% catch probability, you can understand right away that's what your eyes are telling you, wow, that was a great catch.
Yeah.
But if you see a guy making a running catch and it looks like a highlight and we say, yeah, 75% catch probability, you watch the replay like, oh yeah, he got a really bad start and he ran around in a circle like this. And, you know, then you can kind of understand that it wasn't that great. So what we're trying to do is find metrics and measurements that help you tell the stories mm-hmm. or tell us the stories that we're already talking about as we watch baseball games.
What was the I'm going to get you in right quick, but you mentioned the catch probability. The Adam Jones play, what was the probability?
You know, here's the surprising thing. It was actually pretty high.
Really?
But the part we haven't factored in yet, to be fair, and this is a limitation, is the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take the fence away, that's actually a very catchable ball because the hang time was a long time.
Okay.
Gives most outfielders a good chance to run under that. But when you run up to the fence, not only do you run out of time, but you also have a barrier that you have to deal with. So, you know, every metric is going to run into limitations like that. That's a limitation of catch probability that we're working on already. And the other aspect that we've already rolled in is directional. So, for example, you know, five-second hang time, 75-foot run for the outfielder is a very different thing running straight back over his shoulder mm-hmm. than it is coming in a little bit to the left or the right. So that's something we've incorporated already, and we're working on venue models, you know, outfield fence models for all 30 stadiums, so we can put in that fence aspect and really start to tell the story on you know, home run thieves, you know, thefts like that.
And like with I love Statcast. I think it's given us so many great new things to look at.
You hear that, Corey?
Yeah. And I'm hoping, as selfishly as a Mets fan, that we can get like Terry Collins to maybe start looking at some Statcast, look at some Michael Conforto, like you guys show like the projected feet, the bat speed, and I love the new feature, like the height you guys are showing and all that. Yeah. I mean, it's really wonderful.
I think you really are starting to see this have an effect on players and coaching and how players play. You know, already this year, and it's a very, very small sample size, but you're seeing the launch angle in Major League Baseball is creeping up over the last 2 years because players are realizing that it's one thing to hit the ball hard. It's another thing to hit the ball hard straight down or straight at somebody. You get a little bit of loft under it. Now you can really do something. Mike Petriello, who's our chief analyst and writer for Statcast and MLB.com, he picked up a quote from the Cubs: "There's no slug on the ground." You know, if you want to hit a home run, you're not doing that by hitting a ground ball. You get a little bit more under it. That's where the power comes in.
And Daniel Murphy has totally taken on to the launch angle. I mean, Bryce Harper was giving him some stuff during the spring training. But, I mean, Bryce Harper could hit anything. But, I mean, you look at what Daniel Murphy has been able to become over this year plus, or even going back to the playoffs. I mean, you got to start believing. He saw it, and it's paying off major dividends.
Yeah, absolutely. But by the same token, you know, you have to be cautious with this. A little bit of information can be a dangerous thing. Lifting your launch angle is not a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing if you're strong enough to drive the ball, but for smaller guys like Billy Hamilton, you want to keep hitting the ball down. You know, remember that guy in Little League or high school or whatever, the guy who was like 5'10", 170, like, I don't know, me, who kept trying to hit fly balls and, you know, blast it over the outfielders? You can't do that. You've got to play to your strengths. So I think that's an interesting thing we're seeing is not only is the launch angle going up, but is it going up for the right guys?
I think it's really interesting to be able to look at it. Now, you were telling us during the break you've taken a 1 year, perhaps 30-year hiatus from playing fantasy baseball, but how can we use that, like, essentially? How are we able to use it as prospective drafters, as looking for pickups? How can we use Statcast better?
Well, you know, fantasy baseball is all about trying to predict the future, trying to understand what players are going to do, and I think that's one thing Statcast is very good at because we get away from the results and we look at the skills. So a couple of years ago, Ryan Zimmerman with the Nationals was having that foot problem, and his exit velocity was decreasing, and you could see it was impacting how he was playing. He came off the DL. We saw his exit velocity spike, but he was still hitting 210 or 220. And I don't know how we stumbled on this in the office, but we were like, this guy is going to blow up over the last 6 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And about 2 weeks later, he blew up. He hit 350 with 10 homers over the last 6 weeks of the season, something like that. So that's what you want to do in fantasy baseball, is try and find the skills that show results where the results haven't shown up yet.
Oh, 100%, and I know that's what, I mean, everyone, we sit here for months, Corey, staring at fan graphs and trying to...
No, I don't.
But just to make a quick point before the break, like George Springer the other night, the foul ball, that base hit that he hit, I mean, all the velocity you were able to read, I mean, the guy is locked in, you're seeing it, like you're saying, the skills are showing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, several years ago, you know, Voris McCracken really had the breakthrough, the biggest discovery in sabermetrics in our lifetime, this notion that how important luck is. So we start to look at BABIP and strikeout to walk rate and things like that, and now we have those next level skill indicators, so we don't have to worry about batting average. We're worrying about where it's going, not where it's been.
Which is what we're always trying to figure out, of course, in fantasy baseball. Corey's here to hang out. We'll talk some real baseball with Corey as well. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside Matty Moe, Corey Parson, and Corey Schwartz in the house today. Greg Sussman, one more hour with you. OGs are up next. Corey, holding it down. It's nice. This is your Friday today.
Yeah, obviously I got a big weekend coming up. I'm going down to D.C., get my daughter, bring her up here for spring break, and I just found out a little while ago I have to get a dress for Easter Sunday. Why couldn't this be taken care of before she came up here? Now I got to go. I'm going to be dress shopping.
Corey, at least you can eat bread.
That's true.
We can't eat bread.
What size dress do you wear?
No, it's not for me. It's not for me. So we got that coming up. A little Easter Sunday going on, spring break. So I'll bring it through next week. It'll be a good time. Hey, Corey, so this week we had Coors Field, right? And everybody, you get to the DFS, you know, everybody's like, you got to stack the Rockies, you know, because they were going against Jared Weaver. And Jared Weaver, you know, is terrible. And my thing all season has been, when it comes to DFS, I really don't do a lot of playing, but I definitely avoid slates with Coors Field on it, because everybody predicts these big run explosions at Coors Field, and the Rockies didn't score a single run last night. Jared Weaver, they only scored, what was it? They scored 3 runs against Weaver the other night. So it's like
0 runs yesterday against Zach Lee.
How do you, obviously you look at the altitude, but how do you figure out Coors Field and what's going on?
Well, that's the irony, right? That, you know, in fantasy baseball, traditional Roto, you're playing full season. You take your Coors Field with your San Diego, and it sort of works out in the wash. DFS, you're trying to hit on stuff like that. And when it doesn't, it stings, you know? But I think ultimately you're looking at those high run environments. You have to play those odds. You have to play those matchups. And maybe the problem with Jared Weaver was, remember that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he pitches so slow? And they go, strike one, strike two, strike three. And they can't hit it that slow. I mean, maybe Jared Weaver is just throwing so slowly right now that it's at the bottom end of what a major leaguer can actually handle, because they're just not used to that slow stuff. But you know, look, I think it's a good strategy to attack those high run environments, to attack those soft matchups. You're not always going to hit on that, otherwise we'd all be millionaires. But you know, ultimately in DFS, you're trying to play the percentages and play the odds. And I think more often than not, that's
when it comes to offense in Colorado. Like, what does Statcast say? Is it like? Is it?
Oh, forget about it. I mean, the ball. It's really true. It's really, how much the ball carries there.
Really, huh?
You know,
it is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, a good 20 or you know, same launch angle, same exit velocity. You're going to get 20 or 30 feet more in Coors Field than you were than you will anywhere else. Now, that's highly variable on a day-to-day basis. We found out that wind plays a huge part. Mm-hmm. You know, a direct tailwind can carry the ball 5 to 10 feet per 1 mile an hour. You may remember last year, I remember, Nomar Mazara hit an upper deck home run in Texas. And I think StatCast, we called it 490, 492 feet, something like that. And everybody went absolutely bananas. Like, no way was that a 500-foot home run. And we dug into it. We're like, are we crazy? Is this wrong? And we were able to get some weather station data from inside Globe Life Ballpark. And we found out that that ball had a direct tailwind of close to 20 miles an hour.
Oh, so
he hit it exactly just right where the wind current took it. You know, the wind took it. And that gives it another 30 or 40 feet. So the wind is real. The, you know, air density is real. And we're starting to get data now to help us quantify that a little bit more specifically.
So when it comes to the StatCast, one of the things we've all noticed, and I think a lot of people watching baseball and analyzing baseball noticed, that seemingly every pitcher's velocity is up this year. Shelby Miller was throwing 99 miles per hour this spring. We're showing results. And at least from what I had read was that we were, or you guys, were tracking the ball in a different spot than what we previously did. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the way the system we used to operate normalized pitch speeds to 50 feet from the back tip of home plate because that was a camera-based system, so you really couldn't get the ball exactly as it came out of the pitcher's hand. And that 50-foot measurement kind of matched up with what people were used to and seeing in baseball up to that point. You know, the top guys throwing 96, 98, something like that. If someone touched 100, that was like a once-a-week kind of thing.
Right.
The StatCast system is radar-based, samples at about 18,000 to 20,000 times per second, so we can really detect the ball as it comes right out of the pitcher's hand. So that's the value we report now across the board for all products because it's more consistent. So whether you're watching a broadcast on TV, whether you're in the ballpark and looking for the pitch speed up on the scoreboard, watching game day at bat or any of our other devices, you're seeing that pitch speed as it's reported out of the pitcher's hand, number one, because we have the technology to do that now, and number two, because it's a more consistent number across all of baseball. So you're going to see anything from a half a mile an hour to a mile an hour faster league-wide. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that some guys aren't legitimately throwing harder, and it doesn't mean everybody's throwing harder. Some guys have lost velocity since the start of last season, but you make that slight adjustment in your head, and then it's pretty easy to figure out.
Well, that was my question. Great job, Greg. But just like,
did I answer it sufficiently?
No, you did. That was really something that I was very curious to know, and but with, I think the great thing that is with StatCast and helps it out, it's like with a Hollywood movie. You have to have those stars and those studs to lead the way. And you guys have like Giancarlo Stanton. You got Noah Syndergaard. I mean, I always see Darren on his Twitter page showing like Syndergaard how many times he's hit 100 or 98 plus throughout the season. So these are just wonderful things we get to play around with.
Yeah, and it really gives you an appreciation also for guys who defense is their primary skill. You know, they have offensive skills, but their defense is so exceptional. You know, you look at Kevin Kiermaier, whose defense is known at this point, how truly exceptional he is defensively in center field. And Adam Eaton is another guy that when we were doing a lot of research last year, he ended up with a lot of plays that ranked very highly in the system we built, the catch probability system. And we would go look at the video, and he wasn't making diving catches or leaping catches or whatever. He was just getting there and making the catch just in time. And we realized that his quickness, his reaction, his roots, his acceleration, all of the things that lead to getting the catch were so good that the catch itself looked kind of ordinary. And that's something we hope StatCast will do. We know Syndergaard is great. We know Giancarlo Stanton is great. But we can start to highlight some of these second and third tier players and say, wow, these guys are pretty good too. And we didn't even realize that.
What does StatCast have to say? I don't even know if this is a thing, so I might be making it up. But about knuckleballers, because we had Stephen Wright go last night, and he didn't go very long. He less than an inning and a third, 8 hits, 8 runs, allowed 4 home runs. It was a brutal outing for Stephen Wright. What does StatCast tell us about knuckleballs?
Knuckleballs are tough because the spin rate is so low that those pitches don't really follow a predictable model of physics. You know, a fastball or a slider that's traveling at, you know, 2,000 RPM or 2,500 RPM or whatever it may be, you know that those are going to follow the laws of physics. Knuckleballs spin so slowly that weather and air friction are able to influence those a lot more, and you don't get these sort of predictable movements out of knuckleballs that you do out of other pitches. So, you know, that's stuff we're still trying to figure out. We're working on getting better weather data, you know, down to the second, see if we can get that at field level rather than, you know, at the top of the stadium, which is a couple hundred feet up there. That will start to tell us a lot about knuckleballs, but, you know, that's the next, you know, maybe a next great frontier.
Knuckleballs, the next great frontier.
There you go, right there. So I'm looking at home run distance from this year, right? Number one is Carlos Gomez at 462, right?
Not bad, not bad.
Number two is Charlie Blackmon at 458. Guess who the pitcher was?
Don't tell me. Is who'd Colorado play? Arizona, Zach Greinke?
No, the pitcher that threw the pitch.
I named the pitcher.
Yeah. No. It wasn't Zach Greinke.
All right, yeah, I got to guess another one.
The pitch, I'll give you a hint.
I know it wasn't Jared Weaver.
The pitch speed was 78 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
It was Jared Weaver.
Oh, it was?
So there you go right there.
but, you know, that brings up an interesting point. Remember when we were little and we were learning to play, Little League, and the coach would say, don't swing too hard. Let the pitcher do the work for you.
Sure.
That's not really true. Most of the exit velocity comes from bat speed. Very little of it actually comes from the pitch, somewhere around 17 or 18%. And once you realize that, it all makes sense. Think about all the times that somebody throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and the batter swings as hard as he can and hits a little number, and then think of a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and the guy bunts and it goes nowhere. The pitch adds something, because it's adding force into that, that point of contact, but bat speed is really what adds to the exit velocity. And then you look at a guy like Giancarlo Stanton, who's pretty much the king of exit velocity. He's the oldest Chapman of exit velocity. He's so big and so strong, and he just generates incredible bat speed. That's where that exit velocity comes from.
Let me ask you, because we saw a scary situation the other day with Buster Posey getting beaned. So the pitch was 94 miles an hour. As a layman, I'm always thinking, if you see the ball coming, especially towards your head, you can get out the way.
It's tough.
How much, like, the reaction, how much do you have to, like, see, okay, wait a minute, this pitch is high. Oh, my God, it's going
to
hit me.
Your average major league fastball reaches the pitcher's hand to the front of home plate in about 0.4 seconds.
Wow.
Almost a third of that time, your brain hasn't even seen the ball yet. So, the pitch comes out of the pitcher's hand. It's going to go about 15 or 20 feet before your brain can even process there's an object there.
Yeah.
Then you've got another, 0.1 to 0.2 seconds to decide what you want to do, and then you've got to do it. So, that's why, look, we don't advocate pitchers throwing at hitters, but all right, if you're going to throw inside, throw down here.
Yeah.
Maybe you hit me in the ribs or maybe you hit me in the butt, where I've got a little bit more padding. You don't throw up and in, and that's why, because the batter has so incredibly little time to not only understand what he needs to do, but to react to it and get out of the way. The fact that anybody can hit a pitched baseball as well as some of these guys do is astonishing to me.
That's crazy.
And the other thing with the hitting part of it, I mentioned Stanton before, we got Aaron Judge who looks like a Giancarlo Stanton in a Yankee uniform,
yeah,
and is hitting these mammoth home runs. But he hit the hardest single yesterday in the sixth inning. And, it's just getting to see all this kind of great stuff is great. And even the night before with Cespedes, when he had that three home run night, and you guys show how it was barreled up and stuff like that. I think these are all just great things that we can take, we can use, and, it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned, Aaron Judge with a single. One of the things we found is that there's diminishing returns on exit velocity, because to really hit it at the maximum exit velocity, the ball and the bat have to meet flush. But that means you don't get as much backspin and you don't get the loft that creates a fly ball. So once you get up to around 115, you actually want to not hit it any harder than that. You want to hit it a little less and get under the ball a little more and get some loft. So most of the hardest hit balls in the StatCast era have been line drives and groundouts.
We're taking a break. We're going to come back.
No, we're good. Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back with Corey, because one of the things.
Well, with this Corey.
With this Corey.
He's got to go to work.
Oh, yeah. He wants to hang out with us.
I got to get back in the lab.
Where do you think the StatCast information come from, Greg? not from sitting here with us.
We got to go put the hamsters back on the wheels and get them running again.
All right. Well,
swinging bats, throwing balls,
I understand. Well, Corey Schwartz, thanks for hanging out, man.
I appreciate it. Sorry I can't stay long.
I thought we were having an hour. We were going to hang.
An hour.
It was going to be some beers afterwards.
Yeah, some beers. National Beer Day.
This room can only handle one Corey.
I'll make a deal with you. If I come in next time and there's a spread put out, you can have me for 2 hours.
Oh, there you go.
I'm
don't leave. That seems doable.
Buffet for all.
Nando will figure it out.
And tell to bring bacon.
Yeah.
We can make it happen. Corey Schwartz, where can everybody follow you on Twitter and follow StatCast and all that good stuff?
The best guys to follow are really Tom Tango, Mike Petriello, and Darren Willman. They're sort of the key guys coming up with all the cool stuff and tweeting it out at Darren W, at Mike Petriello, and at Tango Tiger. You know, there are a lot of us working on the project, but those are the three guys who are really down deep in the lab coming up with this cool stuff. And those are three must-follow guys. And of course, MLB.com, MLB.tv, Game Day at Bat, all that good stuff. Go buy all those products today.
So, you need them all. You can't just suffice with just one.
Right. At StatCast, at Schwartzstops, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Look, I'm a baseball fan. This is why I work here, and it's amazing stuff, and I really feel like we're just scratching the surface of where we're going to go with this.
Whatever you think of StatCast or Exit Velocity or any of that, think of Corey Schwartz.
And Corey Parsons is now a believer.
We got a concert.
Sure is. You're going to walk out of this room, he goes, I effing hate StatCast. Hey, stick around. More Roto Experts to come. Thank you, Corey Schwartz, and we will be right back right after this.
So that was pretty cool.
One Corey down, one more to go.
Yep.
Bad news for Scott Engel. Corey said he's going to be dressed by the time Old School Fantasy starts. So that's unlucky for
Scott. Yeah, I'm going to be better before Old School. Temperature's starting to go down right here in the studio, Studio 34.
You know, it's honestly crazy that it's gone now 4 degrees in here, and so now it's like 83 compared to 87, and you feel a difference.
Like you feel a difference.
Oh, you definitely
that
feel a difference.
Feels but, much better.
Special thanks to Corey Schwartz.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was some great stuff.
Yeah, that was cool to learn about that information they're putting out.
Are you going to buy a new app? Seriously?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So you just lie.
No, I like, you know what it is?
Corey.
I like to see it as a part of the broadcast. And I like Corey too, but I like to see it as a part of the broadcast. I think it enhances the broadcast. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it.
I gotta ask you a question I've been wondering. Do you like people more when they have the same name as you?
Not really. It doesn't make me no difference.
Okay.
I know a couple different Coreys. He's probably the coolest one I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outside of yourself, of course.
Outside of myself, yeah. I know Corey Schwartz for a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you date a Corey? Female, of course.
Oh, boy.
Would you, if her name was Corey, would you date her? Corey and Corey.
That's interesting right there. I think I can do it. I think I'm strong enough will to date some, you know, because that's awkward because now, you know.
Why is it awkward?
No, because Corey is just a lot going
it's
on.
It's cute.
It's not cute.
It's Corey.
Yeah.
Think about those wedding invitations, how cool they would look.
They would. Especially if she was Corey with a K, like K-O-R-I.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never met a Corey. I never had a Corey female enter my life.
Not yet.
Not yet, you're right. She could be out there right now. Listening to Fantasy Radio.
I'm cooking up some bacon for you.
I was waiting for Corey to be like, I'm Dan Strafford.
I'm Dan Strafford last night in Major League Baseball.
So as we were just talking about Corey Schwartz, the Red Sox got bombed yesterday. 12-5. Stephen Wright was awful. Ubaldo Jimenez was barely better. It's always crazy to me, Mudiga, when a dude lets up like 8 runs in an inning and then the other pitcher still can't get a win. That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, well, that's Ubaldo Jimenez. That's Ubaldo Jimenez in a nutshell. But as Corey was mentioning, with the knuckleball and how it, well, even like the wind, like every degree and stuff like that, really changes things. I mean, Stephen Wright got obliviated last night. He's currently sporting a 13.50 ERA.
Not great.
There's no recovering from this. Like if you put him in, your week is ruined pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
So do you think that's true? Because the person I played yesterday actually started Stephen Wright.
I mean, unless he's got like Kershaw, Bumgarner types that are give him the opportunity.
So I'm in the weekly head to head.
Which is ERA now? I mean, it's got
684.
I mean, if you can't, I know you had Kyle Freeland, but at least Kyle Freeland pitched 4 2/3.
My ERA is 4.94 currently.
Okay, so you do have a nice head start. You own Kershaw in that league, right?
Pitch tomorrow.
Okay, you got Kershaw.
I have some other scrubs pitching today, though, which we'll get to in a minute.
But that's the beauty of Kershaw.
Yeah.
Kershaw allows you to have some.
My whip is all. Our whips are also tied. I don't understand how this is possible. I'm having a really good week. Yeah. My inning's really doing well this week. My OBP is 275. I'm off to a great start.
He allowed eight hits in an inning and a third, and somehow your whips are still tied. That's not good.
I had more strikeouts yesterday than total bases as well.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very bad, Matt.
It's a grind.
It's a damn grind.
As Corey says, it is a grind. It's, watching one of the beauties of fantasy baseball is watching your pitchers. My mood can change in, an instant.
Yeah.
It's going great. Ivan Nova was on the mound last night. I remember we were talking about that, and I was all excited. And I'm watching the Ranger game. I wasn't even watching the game. And I put on the app, and I see 4 runs in the fifth inning, and I was like, Even my excitement for the Rangers was just... But,
diminished.
And then tonight, something good's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what's best for me? So I'm watching this Red Sox-Orioles game, and I'm checking it out, and I'm like, man... I wonder what sucker owns Stephen Wright. And I found out it's the dude I'm playing.
Nice.
I'm like,
instant
gratification. Instant gratification. Until I saw my team have 45 strikeouts yesterday, and then the gratification was
gone. Tough when that happens.
Yeah.
Tough when that happens.
Hey, the Orioles, they had a lot of home runs yesterday. Should I run them all for you?
Who hit them?
Jonathan Scope at one. That was in the first inning. Adam Jones at one. He's America these days.
America's hero.
Yeah, Chris Davis hit one. That was his second of the year.
The big fella.
And Trey Mancini hit one.
Trey
Mancini.
Mm-hmm.
He actually didn't hit just one. He hit two.
He has 5 homers in 29 career plate appearances.
Why have I never heard of Trey Mancini before this morning?
He's a guy that came up last year in September just for a minute. And... Hit three home runs. He had a cup of coffee, 3 home runs. He's a DH-type player. And I think he might get some play in Baltimore. I mean, Seth Smith is perfect for them in that matchups. He hits the right-handers. You can't play him against left-handers. You put a Mancini in there. And, good things can happen. I mean, the guy, I think the guy is going to see some at-bats this weekend. I'll say that.
I'm totally with you. The Red Sox, who wound up with 5 runs in this game, of course, all of them off Ubaldo, get a home run from Pablo Sandoval, a 2-run shot for Sandy, his second of the year. He was 1-for-5. It was his only hit of the day. Xander Bogaerts was 3-for-5. Hanley returns to the lineup. He was 2-for-4. While Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, both hitless in this one.
Well, the one thing I will say about Andrew Benintendi, I retweeted somebody's tweet yesterday. It was actually a fantastic tweet. And as we were talking, as Corey Schwartz was talking about with StatCast and how they get to see the skills, even if the results aren't there, are the skills still there? And I'm trying to find this one here. Alex Spira tweeted this out. Benintendi with a swing and miss versus left-handed. That's his third swing and miss of the year in 129 pitches seen.
That's crazy.
This kid, you got to look behind the average.
Yeah, you got to go beyond the box score.
Yes, exactly. When you go beyond the box score and you do a deep dive on Benintendi, I mean, I like this kid more now than I liked him before the season.
Yeah.
I like it also. Excuse me, I'm very much still in. Very, very much still in. I totally agree with what you're saying.
I think very good things are coming his way. Yeah.
Let's talk about your Mets.
Oh, no.
They swept the Phillies.
That they did. The brooms were out last night.
Goodness, I don't like to see that.
Mets won 5-4. And one of the things I know you were looking forward to, you said at the end of the show yesterday, Matt, was Zach Wheeler and how he would perform. And Wheeler, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts. I know you were flipping back and forth between the Mets and the Rangers last night. Maybe he had one-on-one device, one on the other. What did you think of Wheeler's performance?
I thought it was very encouraging. I mean, the first start on Friday night, that first inning, I mean, I was jacked. When I saw how he came out in that first inning, maybe it was the cold and he couldn't, you know, command his secondary pitches, which he had no control of them. So maybe the cold weather that night could have been a factor. Maybe I'm just making an excuse, to be honest. But he looked much better last night. And unfortunately, in that sixth inning, the bases got loaded. Hansel Robles came in, and Michael Franco hit a grand slam. Because otherwise, I mean, I mean, just as a Mets fan, as a baseball fan, I'm just encouraged that this guy is actually pitching in
on the mound,
real games in the middle of April. You know, just the same way I kind of feel with Matt Harvey. I didn't think either of these guys, I thought at some point they would be, you know, maybe like mid-May, but I think we have a leg up. And as we all thought, the Mets had all this depth. I mean, Seth Lugo, we're not going to be seeing this year.
No, this is really bad. At least he had a nice time in Puerto Rico.
It's like running back. You think you're deep at that position, but you're never deep because the pitcher is the same way.
And tonight, I'm going to be really keyed on is Robert Gzelman. He's a guy that late, once I knew he got that rotation spot, I really got aggressive with. Maybe I made a mistake. I'm not sure. In my Las Vegas main event, I had the decision between him and another guy I've been really on, really liking, Jared Eichhoff. And I went with Gzelman for the possible upside, but Eichhoff was the safer pick, and Eichhoff's looking really good this year.
Eichhoff, you know, it's interesting because you were the one that turned me on to Eichhoff, and I'm happy you did because he has looked really good. Vincent Velasquez is another one that a lot of people were in on this year and in the spring. Five innings, five hits, five runs, four walks. Four walks is going to kill you, Corey.
That four walks will get you every time. Putting people on base for free, it always comes back to bite you. So gave up five earned runs, walked four. Now, he still did strike out seven, right? 100 pitches, gave up one home run. Now, here's the problem, though. The seven strikeouts you like, but overall, is this a fantasy? You get the seven Ks. If you're his fantasy owner, are you like, ugh?
Well, that's the problem. And he has had two starts this season. He's pitched less than 10 innings. I think it's like 9 2/3. He's got 17 strikeouts. So this is a uber talent. I mean, it's there. Problem is, I think he maybe say he made like 27 starts in his career now. Yeah. He's got a 4.43 ERA or something like that. Okay, we can look past the ERA. We see the strikeout rate and all that. The walk rate, as you mentioned, it has to come down. It has to come under control. He could run off a month or two of just being dominant. The other issue is, is he going to be able to hold up? Is he going to stay healthy? That's a fear that I had coming into this season as well. And lastly, is he destined to become like a Kenley Jansen's type, like an uber top-end closer?
Not if he's walking people.
Well, no, but also, yeah, too, he's just got... Yeah. If he only has to do it in that one inning... I mean, look, he's going to get every opportunity to be a starting pitcher. Yeah.
Absolutely. But will the health concerns, how will those play a factor in the control? I think the position the Phillies are now, they're going to keep trying him out there as a starter. Maybe long term, I think we'll see. Maybe not even with the Phillies, who knows? We'll find out.
I just hope he stays healthy, because I think this is a very... It's something you want to watch.
I totally agree with that. Michael Franco, as you said, hit the grand slam yesterday. That was a big blast. Of course, it was against Hansel Robles, who stinks. Every Met fan hates Robles.
I don't hate Robles, but I did, as soon as that grand slam happened, I did tweet Hansel why. And, you know, it was quite depressing because I figured the Mets were going to surrender the lead at some point, too, after that. But they held on. Addison Reed got the job done in the ninth, locked the door.
Did you throw the remote at the TV?
No, I do enjoy watching my TV.
Oh,
so.
Okay. You didn't throw the remote at it. Did you throw the remote at it out of actually what was the exit velocity?
I'll tell you what. If you draft that Addison Reed, Jarius Familia combo, doing well.
Like
you're
that.
Feeling good.
Yeah. I'm
counting down those days. I have Familia in a couple. League, so.
Do you have Reed as well?
I do not have Reed. I went with the in the choices we had. I did it once with Chris Vaccaro. We were both going, who should we take? And I was like, you make the decision. And I did it on my own. It's Nate Jones was the guy I went with because I think long term, Nate Jones should have that role in Chicago. I mean, I just can't see Daniel Robinson being a White Sox for that much longer.
Yeah, there's no way David Robertson last the whole year. Conforto let off yesterday, hit the home run. He's now second of the year and second in a few days here. Now, Reyes has been dropped to seventh in the lineup. He's one of the colder hitters in baseball, batting 0-54, yeah, barely getting on base. Slugging percentage is terrible, and supposedly they're going to give him a day off. We'll see if that happens today. Granderson's also really, really struggling. 2-14 on the year. He didn't start yesterday, of course. Conforto started in center. And I know Met fans like yourself, Matt, are asking, yes, I want to see Conforto every day. This kid needs to play. Problem is, Bruce is hitting really well. Obviously, not thinking Cespedes out of the lineup, so it's going to be Granderson. And I don't think they want to take Granderson out of the lineup.
But see, that baffles me. I think Curtis is, he's been a warrior as a player. Very good career. Very good human being. I mean, Chicago, when I lived there, he is beloved in that city. He's from there. He's just a class act. But he's 36 years old. He's gotten his money. This is a kid that I think we need. I love that he batted leadoff. I really do. Let him see some fastballs. Let him get in. This is a talented hitter. We're all foaming at the mouth as Met fans to see him play every day. I did see, I think it's Adam Rubin might have put something out there.
ESPN New York.
That he might be going to the bench, Jose Reyes. I think he's getting a day off, and then they're going to, like, wait and see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got to start hitting. And he's like, hey, which Reyes is 33. You know, this isn't the Reyes of the past. Though I would like to see Reyes still get a longer leash, because I think we kind of need that speed.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I didn't say that. They act like the Mets fans are like this Conforto guy's Babe Ruth.
They haven't for a while now.
Yeah, they really are on him.
Oh, I got to give props to Michael Florio last night. I was going to step in, but he handled it so well.
Yeah, I saw that.
He did a great job. He laid the smack down, as you wrestling fans would say.
I saw that.
Some ass clown.
No, you know who it is.
Who is
it?
I don't know.
That's Incarcerated Bob.
I don't know who's Incarcerated
Bob. He's in a fight with Incarcerated Bob last night?
No, yeah, it was getting...
So I saw it, right? And I was like, oh, Incarcerated Bob. Incarcerated
Bob.
He's
like, I make money with my baseball.
Incarcerated Bob is going... He's always on Twitter beefing with somebody, right? And I saw Michael Florio, and I'm like, it can't be my Michael Florio. You feel what I'm saying? Then I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, that is my Michael Florio. So, yeah, Incarcerated Bob and Michael Florio was having a little Twitter beef last night. So, Florio definitely stood up for the fantasy community.
Over Michael Conforto and Aaron Judge.
And it was a Met and Yankee thing. You know how that goes.
And he was trying to say Aaron Judge hits everything. Meanwhile, if you look at last year, no, he doesn't hit everything. And he barely made the roster this year. Like they,
Incarcerated Bob used to be some dude that used to call in, Boomer and Carton, and go back and forth with them. So he's like a underground New York sports celebrity.
Okay, I mean, I just seen that he was trying to say, you know, I make money with my picks or something.
Nah, he's
he was throwing cash bags out there on Twitter.
I think he's like a shark or whale, whatever, when it comes to putting a couple dollars down, and whatever the case may be.
Well, kudos to Florio. He did lay the smack. He won that decisively.
Yeah. I got his back.
As do I, of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, more Roto Experts in the Morning on the other side of the break. We're getting a lot more baseball from last night. We'll look at the baseball today as well. It's a Thursday, bunch of games, though. It'll be fun. We head towards the weekend. Corey's last day. It's Friday for Corey. So stick around. More Roto Experts on the other side.
Cold as ice.
I wish we were cold as ice in here. It's dropping though. The air's back on.
It's much more comfortable.
It's still 80 degrees in here.
But the air is on.
But the air is on. So temperature in the studio going down. Hopefully the temperature on your heart for the Roto Experts in the Morning is rising.
Oh. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879.
And we have a fully clothed fantasy exam.
No,
it's getting wet. I still got the hoodie will be back on, though, before Scott get up here.
Why?
Because Scott touched me earlier today.
Yeah, I thought Scott had a man crush on me.
No, he does.
I know David Wright's getting old, and he don't play anymore. And I see the way Scott looks at me, you know.
But, are you a Mets fan too?
Yeah.
One day you're gonna come up to you and be like, Matt, you wanna go to the ballpark with me? At that point, Be careful.
I just don't want to hear, hey, Matt, you want to put some makeup on with me and listen to Kiss? Yeah. That's going to get awkward.
The Kiss thing, yeah, the Kiss thing is Scott Angle. When I first met the King, the first thing I learned about him was he was a Met fan and he was a Kiss fan, and then everything else was like, those were the important things to know about Scott Angle.
I have a little Mets trivia for me, courtesy of Dan.
Oh, Mets
Rebell.
Trivia?
I assume this is from Matt Modica, the Met fan.
I think I could probably get it, too.
Yeah, you can get him. Get involved.
55 years ago today, according to Darren Revell, the Mets played their first game. Did you know that? What were the other nickname finalists?
The other nickname finalists? Wow.
Besides the New York Mets.
I was hoping you asked me, like, the park. I could have said the Polo Grounds.
No. It's the other nicknames. The New York what were the finalists?
I feel like I know least one of them.
Okay.
The New York Empire.
No.
The Skyscrapers?
That's correct.
There you go.
Wow, Corey.
The New York Skyscrapers. That's correct.
Skyscrapers.
I wish I had a prize right now.
A Modell's gift card. Oh, yeah. You had Benny yesterday.
I did.
Listen, Nando, hide the damn Modell's cards, because Benny's talking about stealing them. Benny's like, Jake was like, well, why don't you just ask him? He'll give you one. And Benny said, no, it'd be more fun to steal them.
Yeah.
Well, I think that answer you just gave deserves a plate of bacon.
Yeah, all Modell's gift card.
The Mets' other nicknames were the Skyscrapers, Skyliners, Bees,
Jesus,
Burrows, Avengers.
You know,
imagine they were Avengers. That'd be cool.
You know how? Because I think we did Mets trivia with Scott and Adam maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, and I remembered that.
Who won?
Probably Scott. Scott's been watching the Mets for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even like the Metropolitans. I like Mets.
Right. Okay.
Short and sweet.
Do you not like Knickerbockers either?
No, I do not like Knickerbockers.
Do you know
what I was going to say?
You know where that came from?
I don't.
The Knickerbocker Bank in Albany.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They own the team initially?
I don't know. I don't know why, but that's where New York Knickerbockers came from.
Do you know where Yankees came from?
I guess that's like that's Americans, Yankees.
Well, it's like New Yorkers basically, but that was really just a nickname for the real team, and then eventually this became the team name because it was originally the New York Highlanders.
Oh yeah,
That's correct.
Yeah,
I knew that too. When I first moved down south, they used to call me a Yankee.
Right, damn Yankee, probably.
Yeah, they were like Yankee. Don't trust no Yankees.
Right.
They probably shouldn't have. Because after I was done, I was normally done. it was probably a good idea that you had it first.
Last night, the Mariners blew another lead, Matt Modica.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, they were up, what, 5-0?
5-0.
The wonders of Giovanni Gallardo.
The wonders of it all from Giovanni Gallardo. They're up 5-0 and lost 10-5. Giovanni Gallardo, 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs. Mark Szczepanski pitched well, but Dan Altavilla, he did not.
Who had been pitching very well.
Yes, of course, but he sucked last night.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
He stunk. Dylan Overton stunk. This team, this bullpen, this team all in general, they are struggling as the Mariners sit at 2-8.
And Casey Fiend didn't even pitch.
And Casey Fiend, who's still on the team,
and
by the way.
I had the Mariners as a playoff team this year. I still think they can turn it around, though.
But did you notice, what's his name? Mitch Haniger stole a base.
I was going to get to that in a second. The pitching performances for Houston, Mike Fiers pitched worse than Joe Musgrove. 4 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs, 5 strikeouts. I'm going to look at that repeatedly. No Chris Davinsky last night.
Yeah.
I think they gave him another. I mean, he did pitch 4 innings the other day. I guess when they got the lead, they really didn't need him at that point. He's somebody that they're going to use as a weapon, but you also have to maintain the guy, too. You don't want to burn him out.
Right.
You know, in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Fair enough. Now you can get into the Mariners because Mitch Haniger, once again, does something productive. He batted, was 1-for-5, but he stole his second base of the year, did Haniger, as did Gerard Dyson, both the first and second place hitters in this lineup steal a base. Everybody had a hit outside Gerard Dyson and Leonis Martin, including the first home run of the season for Taylor Motter, filling in for Jeannie Segura.
People didn't stop throwing Taylor Motter fastballs because he is crushing them. Since he came in for Gene Segura, it seems like all they're doing is throwing him fastballs, and he's taking advantage of that.
They forget he's not a pitcher. Mike Freeman, he went 2-for-4. He played first base yesterday, Corey.
Yeah, how you like that?
Sure.
Sorry, I was reading the email. Freeman, that's good. I'm sorry.
Yes. For Houston, George Springer did not hit a home run to lead off the game. He went 1-for-6. But Josh Reddick in the two-hole yesterday was 2-for-3, 3 runs scored, 2 ribbies. Is Josh Reddick underappreciated, Matt?
I think in the long term he could be. He's got to produce now. He's a guy that I've always liked, a guy I had on my teams last year. I don't really have many shares of him. I think I have like 1 or 2. I do like him in the two-hole, though, because he's going to get a chance to see some good pitches. He got going last night, and Jose Altuve owners had to be a little happy last night because he was, you know, for Jose Altuve, was off to a slow start.
He was off to a slow start, exactly. But you still know he's going to be one of the best offensive players in baseball, so you get to get all of that goodness when it comes.
This lineup showed what they can do last night, I think, with everybody having multiple hits outside Brian McCann, who didn't have a hit, and George Springer had 1. Everybody else had at least 2 hits in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Beltran getting on track. He had 3 RBIs. He hit a nice, he walloped one in the gap late. He kind of put the game out of reach. It was like 8-5 at the time. But Alex Bregman's a guy to watch. He started, when he first got called up last season, I think he went like 1-for-32. And then after that, he batted like 3-something. He was really killing it. I mean, he was really on. And I think he's going to get flipped back into the two-hole. And, you know, just give him some time, and he'll be raking. This kid eventually will probably win a batting title.
We talked about some of the terrible pitching performances from last night. Before we wrap up the show, let's talk about the best. And it was a really, really great one. And I'm excited to break it down with you gentlemen and wrap up the Roto Experts in the Morning coming up next. Final few minutes here. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We are hanging tough today.
We guys, we did it.
We dug inside to find that.
It was like Survivor. It was like an episode of Survivor.
Find that extra little bit to push us over the edge. So temperature's starting to go down in here, starting to get back to normal. Scott be coming up here soon, so I'm going to put my sweat, I'm going to put my hoodie back on because I don't want him to touch me. You know what I mean? So there you go right there.
And last night's fantastic pitching performance came in Milwaukee and Toronto. It was at the Sky Dome, and it was awesome because Marcus Stroman pitched a complete game.
Rogers Center.
Still a Sky Dome. 7 hits, 2 runs, 4 strikeouts, 100 pitches to complete all 9 innings yesterday for Marcus Stroman. While for the Brewers, you had Chase Anderson go 7 innings, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, 0 runs. You had Corey Knebel pitched a scoreless inning, and Nathaniel Feliz comes on, works around a walk,
closes
the door. Really awesome pitching performance on both sides.
We'll start with Chase Anderson for a second because I find this interesting. Since July 3rd of last season, he now has a 2.90 ERA.
So is Chase Anderson someone that we should be picking up?
He's on the wire.
His peripherals aren't that good. The FIP and the XFIP aren't really supporting that 2.90.
Chase Anderson.
But I believe he hasn't given up more than 3 runs. My boy Roto Gut tweeted out something last night as well. Shout out to Vlad Sadler. Something about, I think it was the last 14 or 15 games, he's not giving up more than 3 runs or 2 walks in a game. And that trend continued last night with 7 shutout innings.
Let me ask you this. Hopefully, Ron's not listening. He should be working now. Do you think I should maybe drop Bartolo and pick up Chase Anderson?
I have Bartolo too. I'm not sure how much longer I'll be owning him as well. It's something. I mean, I would probably take a shot on him over Bart. I'm going to see tonight. I got my helmet on. I got the Jimmy Nelson experience. Hopefully that goes well.
Chase Anderson's owning, really?
Is he?
Oh, someone picked him up about 1 hour ago.
Yeah,
see,
I mean,
that's why. And you see what?
I don't mind
telling
it.
You don't mind it. No. I would be pissed off. Why? Well, that happened to me.
The only run he's given up this year is a Mark Reynolds solo home run.
No.
And he, like I said, he's pitched at home, which is not easy, and at Rogers Center, Sky Dome, whatever you want to call it. And on the flip side, we go to Stroman, who is just keeps building off of that second half. I mean, the only thing that he did wrong in that second half was the home run ball. The home run ball got him, but the WBC, he pitched really well, and this is a star on the rise. I liked him better than Aaron Sanchez coming into the year, and he's proven to be everything that and more.
The hitting for both sides, obviously stymied by the fantastic pitching. But it was Johnny VR that had the big blast in this one. After Keon Broxton doubled in the second, my guy Keon Broxton. Johnny VR homers in the sixth for his third homer now over the season. VR winds up going 2-for-4 on the day. It was a nice day for him, despite getting picked off at second base by Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, he's been picked off of course stealing a couple times already this year. Not too happy about
that. Yeah, I'm not happy about that either.
Yep.
But yeah, I think all his stuff is going to be there. He's going to hit some home runs for you. He's going to steal a ton of bases. And you want to see him batting atop that lineup.
Yeah, I
think I'm okay with that. For the Blue Jays, guess who got a hit, guys?
Russell Martin.
Let's give it up. Let's give it up.
Nice Russell. Job, Russell
Austin,
Martin.
Austin Hedges, Russell Martin. They both got the job done. Yesterday.
Welcome to the 2017 Major League Baseball season.
Welcome to the hit club.
They did it. They did it. I'm happy for him. I really
What's up with Joey Bats, though? He's batting 138. He's supposed to be comeback player.
Yeah, comeback player.
He's supposed to be comeback and get back there. And I was hurt last year, and now I'm healthy now. What the hell is going on?
I still think he hits 30 home runs.
Well, the average needs to be a little bit better. The on-base percentage, at least.
It's, you know, the season's not 2 weeks old. It's not 2 weeks old.
I don't understand that.
The power hitters especially, home run hitters especially, are very streaky.
Hey,
once they go on a
How you doing, man?
She see my undershirt.
Yeah,
she got
at least now she knows that you're biceps. Sleeping.
She see my guns.
I couldn't find them.
I think Scott's admiring your guns, too, right?
Yeah,
now.
He tried to touch. Yeah, I told you, Scott, if you touch your tip, you owe me $20.
I think Batista will
Scott
be
Scott currently
fine.
Is taking out $20 right now because I think he wants to touch the tip. It's very strange. Yeah.
What we got, Greg?
We're hanging, man. We're hanging. We're almost done. You're almost done with the Road Westerns for the week. You got one more show here, Corey.
Yeah, and get ready for... I'll miss everybody tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday, though.
You can listen to us on your way to D.C.
Yeah, use the app. I was listening the other day.
Yeah.
I went home.
I don't know if I'm going to do that. No, I'm just teasing. Of course I'll be listening. I'll be listening.
I
get down there and I get into Union Station, and then when I get to Union Station, I normally like to pick up a little. They got a spot called the Sugar Factory.
Is it the Sugar Factory?
Yeah, they got the actual Sugar Factory in Union Station.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Probably, it's very expensive, the Sugar Factory.
Right, it's probably too early, too. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to sleep. And my daughter, she going to want to talk when we on the Amtrak coming back. And if I go to the Sugar Factory, I'm not going to want to talk. I'm going to want to take a nap.
Yeah. I understand with that. Hey, last night, the last game I want to go over because it was another good pitching performance, and it was from yesterday afternoon. It was the White Sox and the Indians. Danny Salazar, this is what he does.
Major league leader in strikeouts, Danny Salazar.
So don't ask that question, Florio.
So, the first start, he walked four batters, struck out nine. Yesterday, it showed you what Danny Salazar can be. Struck out 11, walked two. You're going to have some ups and downs with him, but I think he's a better pitcher than what a lot of people were believing coming into the season. He was injured last year, and once he got injured, he was a different pitcher. He was a dominant pitcher before that, so he's a guy that I still like a lot.
The White Sox, though, six innings, four strikeouts, four walks. Derek Holland only allowed one hit.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, these are like, I call these people false gold and, you know, false hope, whatever, you know.
Fugazi.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect term for Gazi. You buy in, and then you get beat down.
Yep. Oh, like United?
Yes, exactly.
Like United Airlines. There you go. There's the bell.
I had to find the bell. Nate Jones led up a run. David Roberts gets his first save of the year. Clean, perfect inning, two strikeouts. nuts.
I needed that.
You needed that. Courtney needed that.
Because I needed it. I own David Robinson. Like, my closers in Tout Wars is David Robinson and Jen Ma. Well, and guess what?
Jen Ma's
not a closer.
Jen Ma's now the clubhouse attendant.
They had Jen Ma was in there fixing the heat in the clubhouse. Hey. It was like, Jen Ma is hot in here. We need to. And Jen Ma, apparently, Jen Ma has an HVAC license. Along with
the pitching. Hey, I gotta ask you, how's Sunshine down this week?
Man, you know what? The Tout Wars thing is crazy, because when you pick somebody up, you gotta play them. And I wanted to play Lucas Duda, but I had to play Sunshine. I had to play Sunshine this week. And
Sunshine didn't even play yesterday.
Sunshine, I'm like, Sunshine, listen.
There's a lot of rain.
Yeah, I know. Sunshine's new to the team, so take him a little while to get accustomed. But we're going to hang in there with Sunshine. But hopefully JD Martinez will be back soon.
Yeah, we need him back.
JD Martinez, he took like a... He did something.
He's going to be taking, like, he's back with the team next week, supposedly. Look, everything's sounding good.
Yeah,
I want you to be optimistic, but, you know, it's Liz Frank.
Tyson Ross had a bit of a setback. He had a back spasm yesterday. This is a problem when you bank on pitchers coming back from injury. You're going to have these setbacks. Now, the back spasm doesn't sound like that big of a deal. We'll see how much it sets back Tyson Ross.
There's another Ross I'll be bidding on this weekend.
Is this his brother Joe?
That is correct.
Matt, by the way, for those who can't watch, which is nobody, Matt backed away. He looked around and nodded his head. He doesn't want anyone to realize how much how into Joe Ross he is. That was the first time, and that's like very, very honest on the show with the guys he likes. That was the first time Matt was just like, shut the F off.
Yeah. Relax.
That's my highest stake.
So I know not to ask him what percentage of his budget he's going to
have. That's like asking you how much you make for auctioneering.
Yeah. It's private conversation between me and the host.
What's coming up next on the OGs?
Coming up next, OGs Fantasy. We'll look back at some of the highlights from last night. Also, we got some day baseball today, so we'll start to get ready for that. We got George and Matt, so you know what I'm saying. I want to get some results, and I want to get like a little primer on what's going on with the NHL playoffs. So whatever, Scott is here, so maybe me and Scott, whatever, we'll chop it up, do a little, maybe we'll see what's going on with the race. It's a whole bunch of things going on in the world of sports right now that we could talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a race this weekend. We got the NHL play. No race this weekend. Okay, they are.
Yeah, a race.
Huh?
It's more exciting than.
You are racing to D.C. tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, that's going to be it for us. Corey, enjoy the weekend, man.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate it. Enjoy old school as well. From Matt Modica, for Corey Barson, I'm Greg Sussman. Corey Schwartz, thank you so much for stopping by. Check him out, Short Stops, on Twitter. This has been the Roto Experts in the Morning. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. Foul territory tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Network. See ya.